Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Revere Radio Network. It's the worldwide home of free speech. I'm proud to be a part of it. My name is Chris White. The show's called Nowhere to Run. And I'm glad to be able to be talking with you guys in these last days, trying to warn people about truth and justice and waking up people. There's about 20 of us on Revere Radio doing virtually the same thing. And if you want to make a donation towards that end, you can go to revereradio.net. Hit the Make a Donation button. $5, $10 helps keep the wheels turning over there, that's for sure. We all got our differences here on Revere Radio, but we're all going towards the same goal, and truth will prevail. It'll just make it a little worse before it gets better, but that's all right. You know, I mean, pain and suffering is sometimes the best way to clarity. And nobody said this was going to be easy. You know, let's get right into it. Usually I don't talk too much about the news or anything, and you know, I won't do it too much today, but here's a few different things. The UNESCO was rebuilding Babylon. That's never good. You know, I think what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start keeping up with some kind of Egypt news and Giza news and Israel news and just stuff that's real important biblical prophecy wise, but I'll probably do that in another show. Here's some, obviously the big news of the day is the Virginia shooting. That's a big deal. I know I'm a hopeless conspiracy theorist and whatnot, but I do think that a lot of this kind of school shooting stuff is MK Ultra mind controlled people that are triggered to do this kind of thing. I think that they have these sleepers everywhere and they're a phone call away from being triggered to go do stuff like this. You know, somebody doesn't walk in and kill that many people in that many places without being trained by somebody. And, you know, they always paint the same picture, the disgruntled military guy or whatever. But, you know, they're going to start painting a lot of different pictures of those people, and it's going to start looking a lot like people that they want to demonize. But really, I think that there is a multiple reasons for stuff like this. I would say two of them, obviously, is the gun control issue. Virginia had, if not the most, with some very liberal gun control laws. They have this assault weapons ban that they were parodying the minute that it happened. You know, they have plant callers calling in talking about how we should definitely get rid of the assault weapons and ban them all, and then increase security and, you know, get SWAT teams everywhere just to make us safe. And at the same time, it keeps everybody scared and everything, but it certainly is not good for a lot of reasons. Also, the Alberto Gonzalez thing, I mean, he was about to be roasted publicly on live television, and it was going to be a media frenzy. And there's no telling what kind of questions would have gotten asked or answered in there. It could have been a very detrimental thing. But one thing is for sure, all eyes would have been on that. It would have been the front page of the newspaper. It would have been big news if not for this. You know, that would not be good. I mean, I know it seems benign. No, we just fired these people. But the stories behind that, I'm sure, are very damning for them. Because a lot of stuff can come out when you start questioning Alberto Gonzalez in a situation like that, and especially publicly and on live television. So anyway, now he shares the front page, if it indeed it did get postponed till Thursday, tomorrow, so, you know, look for that, but I doubt it's going to be near the media attention that it would have been. It's the same thing, if you remember, the same problem with Mark Foley when he got busted, and obviously that story would have had some serious implications if it had been investigated, you know, because it started coming out. I mean, who was involved in this pedophilia? And, you know, these were the guys supposed to be in charge of finding the pedophiles, and rumors of it going all the way to the top, like the movie Conspiracy of Silence suggests, which is a documentary that never got aired on the Discovery Channel. Check it out on Google Video, The Conspiracy of Silence. But if they would have paid the same amount of attention to that story than they did to, you know, whatever Britney Spears does or whatever, then, you know, a lot of truth can come out in something like that. And if you'll notice, when Mark Foley happened, the minute that happened, there was an Amish school shooting. And I think another school shooting. But an Amish school shooting. I remember saying that on this show that I thought that was just so ridiculously uncreative of them. You know, it was like somebody sitting around a room like, well, we needed a school shooting, you know. And then some evil bastard was like, how about an Amish school shooting? I think that would really do it, you know. I mean, the Amish with their hats and their... Just think of it, man. Think of the news headlines. But my conspiracy theorist crazy mind just thinks that they use school shootings as like a default diversion, and it always can serve to help take our guns away, too. I mean, it's just a byproduct of it, so it can serve all those agendas at the same time. And I'm sure that they have sleepers ready to do this kind of thing, just ready to be triggered at any given time. I'm not saying that there aren't real wackos, too, that would snap and do this. I'm sure that there are, but once you find out about this mind control ring that they have and how vast it is, you tend to question this kind of thing a little more. Anyway, so I'm going to try not to talk about the news too much. It just makes me mad. But you know that Greta Waldhauser or whatever on Fox News or whatever that is, CNN, I don't know. But she's got some serious... I mean, I've always thought it was like, you know, Nazi television. She was like, Fraulein is telling us the news now. But she's got like some Botox problems. Like half her face doesn't work. I just see some very... I think I loathe her, you know? I don't know. I got problems. I had to turn it off. I can't watch TV anymore. I was watching television the other day. I'll get into why I've been watching it lately here in a minute. But I haven't watched TV in like a year. Pretty much, I mean, really, I haven't really watched television in about a year. I've just kind of got rid of it. But I was sitting there just flipping through the channels and literally couldn't do anything. My mouth was hanging open. I couldn't do anything except for sit there with my mouth open, gasping at what was going on in television. I guess I'd just been desensitized to it or whatever, and not having watched it in a long time. And I was just stunned at I don't know. It was just so, I don't know. It wasn't, I want to say the words hardcore. It was just so hardcore, but it wasn't like, you know, explicit anything, this or that. It was just way too over the top in my face. I don't know. I literally couldn't do anything but just sit there with my mouth open as I flipped through the channels, just in complete disbelief. And the obvious induction of the occult that's going on to people, and like how much that's going on, I just had no idea that they were just so overt about it. I mean, they must have just dumbed down everybody so much. Anyway, one of the things that, and the reason I have been watching TV is just because I've had to turn it on because I've been testing out these DVDs. Because here is something that I have been doing, and I think I would really encourage everybody to do something similar. And that is, I've been burning truth movie DVDs, downloading, burning them. What my plan is here is that I've been burning, I think I got about 10 different movies that I've been burning, and I've been putting them in like a packet. When I give this packet to different people, it's going to blow their mind. Especially if they don't know anything about this kind of thing. It's like taking the red pill, you know. It's in 10 different topics of, you know, the best movies that I can find out there about these things. I can go ahead and tell you which movies that is. I've got 9/11 Mysteries, Demolitions, Loose Change 2, Sweet Misery, a movie about aspartame. It's really good. The Fluoride Deception, a Radio Liberty thing about vaccines, which is really good. I've got this documentary called The Last Days documentary. It's really good. I've got Kathy O'Brien. I've got Return of the Nephilim from Chuck Missler. I've got Money Banking in the Federal Reserve. And I think I'll be adding The Passion by Mel Gibson. It's not really a conspiracy movie, I know, but it is a truth movie, I guess. I saw it for the first time the other day. I was really impressed. I'm going through. I'm actually burning them right now. I'm making a lot of them. I'm going to just make these little packets, and I'm going to give them to people when I feel like I've been prompted to do so. I travel a lot, and so whenever God tells me to, I'm just going to carry them with me everywhere I go, you know? And I'm just going to go Morpheus on somebody, man, and just wake them up and apologize. Like, hey, you know, usually I wouldn't wake you up. I'd let you just do what you're doing. But, you know, also, if you, you know, I think you could do this if you just had, if you're a woman, I think a good thing to do would be to burn, like, the Radio Liberty vaccines one and maybe the fluoride deception. And if you ever, you know, if you're a supermarket or whatever, you can give those two to, like, if you see a mother with a baby, you know, and you can just carry them in your purse or whatever if you're going to the supermarket. Also, a good one to bring there would be The Sweet Misery. That's an incredible movie. And you could give it to somebody if you saw that they had Diet Coke in their cart or whatever. You could just give them The Sweet Misery one. Man, that's a good movie. But I'll tell you what, I bought this the internal burner for my computer for, like, $70 and 30 blank DVD minus R's or like $13. But I'll tell you that there is a lot of learning that has to go on with encoding and downloading and encoding the DVD or whatever. It's got a lot of problems, but it's not that hard. It just takes some learning. But if anybody wants to do this, you can email me, and I will be happy to walk you through the process. And you can email me at chris@conspiracyclothes.com. That is chris@conspiracyclothes.com. I can give you links to the movies that I may or not make, but burned and how to do it and everything if you want to do it. It's certainly something to do, and I think it really will do a lot of good, especially, and you can do it on a local level, like I said. I mean, if you just see somebody with a cart full of Diet Coke, or you see a mom with a newborn baby, you can really save some lives with just these movies. Because as I've said before about these movies, you know, it's a audio visual thing is like the language of the future. Some people will never believe anything until it's in the confines of their TV. It's not necessarily their fault. It's just that the world we've been brought up in and the training that we've been through has told us not to believe anything until it's through a TV. So it's a psychological issue, and I think that that's why movies are important. And there's certain things that, you know, that just will never be believed. But, and like I said, I'm throwing 10 of the most mind-shattering movies on somebody, but only I think I'm going to do that when I feel like it's important. And I'm going to take somebody from 0 to 150 miles an hour watching these movies. You know, it's going to be a big change. So it is something that, very much like The Matrix, you know, when Morpheus said, you know, we normally wouldn't wake somebody up this late in the game, but we felt it was important. And I do think it's important. I think that we're real, real close here. And so I think this will be a good thing to do. And anyway, so let us, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to take a break right now. I'm going to continue to rant a little bit, because I think what I'm going to do is play a lengthy clip at the last end of the show, so I won't take any music breaks or anything. I'll just rant for a little longer and then play the clip. Okay, I want to talk about prayer, and if anybody listens to the show, they know I'm a firm believer in the power of prayer. And I have been getting more of a believer in the power of prayer as the show's gone on, and God has shown me very important and simple truths about it. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of information from various sources about this recently. One being an odd source was Edgar Cayce. I don't know if anybody has read much of Edgar Cayce, and they may think one thing or another about him. And I'm not sure exactly what I think about him either, but he's known as the Sleeping Prophet, and I love reading his stuff. I don't see anything wrong with it. And I'm really, you know, I'm very on guard for it to be, you know, some false doctrine or whatever, but it's so consistent with the Word of God as I understand it and know it, that I have a hard time discounting it. But, and especially because it has affected me in such a positive way towards understanding the love of God more and understanding prayer more. And one of the things that he had said in there was that somebody had asked him if, you know, how it worked with Edgar Cayce. He would go into a trance, and he never remembered it when he got up, but people would ask him a question and he would answer, you know, he would answer them whatever the question was. And I think somebody had asked him before, you know, how's the best way to pray or something like that. He would allude to always 2 o'clock in the morning facing east. And he said the same thing about meditation too, that was the best time to meditate. but certainly for prayer. And, you know, it's just little things like that. It's not that I only pray 2 o'clock in the morning facing east or only pray facing east, but it's just, I think that there is probably something to it. But I think it's important when discussing something like prayer that it's not about doing it right or wrong. It's more probably about being able to do it better. I have a point that I'm going to try to make with this, but I guess I got to go over a few things first. Consider Matthew Matthew 18 verse 19. It says, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with you." So when listening to that, it would appear that just power in numbers, whereas two people might, through prayer, be able to save a city, or five people can save a city, 10 could save a state, and 25 might save a country. And it's not that one couldn't, it's just that there's power in numbers. And so I think prayer, although it can be done in any time with no words being spoken at all and facing any direction, it also has an ability to be used more effectively. And I think that that's where a lot of stuff with diet comes in, and even living a just life and all these different aspects that God's trying to tell you about is really about, you know, maximizing your prayer life. And I think when you start to see that and look at that, it makes not sinning a little more easier, because you want to try to maintain a certain level of effectiveness in your prayers and all your spiritual connection. And I think once you get involved in that, and I'm not anywhere, you know, close to really doing this good or anything, but I'm, you know, a little better than I was before I started, I suppose, but nowhere near good. But, and you know, I do think, you know, when I would, and still do, when I get a chance to pray at 2 o'clock in the morning facing east, I can feel it. You can feel that there's something extra there. And I think what my point about this was about this verse in Matthew 18, verse 19. And it says, again, I tell you, he's saying it again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. And when two or three come together in my name, there I will be also. And I think it's important that he says agree. When two or three people come together and agree on something, I think it's important. Well, my idea was to kind of form like a secret prayer society. You know, if I knew people that were like-minded and knew about this stuff, maybe constructing some sort of just packet about, I don't know, maybe some literature about the effectiveness of prayers. I don't know. I'm envisioning some like secret envelope that you'd give to these very select people with like some wax seal on it. But in any case, if you could get some people to come together with, if you had like 12 people or whatever, to form this prayer meeting, and you wouldn't have to pray about every little thing and Jimmy's arthritis and everybody goes around. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. No, you should pray all the time at every given opportunity. But I think that also there's something that I think could be done here where people could agree on something, and maybe through emails or something, network before it happens. You know, everybody gets the email and you find this one particular thing that you're going to pray for and get these, and have it be like one big thing, like something huge. I mean, because that's the kind of power I believe would be being thrown around in these cases. And then everybody knows what they're doing. They set a time to go meet. Everybody meets. They hold hands. They maybe spend a few minutes silently getting ready. Then somebody prays the prayer that they all agreed on. Earnestly thank God and get out of there. I mean, you could move mountains. I'm just sure of it. I mean, I'm sure of it because it says you should be sure of it. You could call emergency prayers, you know. But I think I do think keeping it simple, keeping it down to one, you know, focused prayer, and have everybody already meditating on it before they get there, and it's all important that everybody really, just really driving home the agreeing aspect of it, that all people are going there and got in their cars and are on their way to this preset place because they're going to pray for this one prayer. They're thinking of the prayer on their way there, you know, and then they get there and to pray for it and leave, you know. It takes some certain amount of dedication and faith just to go there and do it, but I think that's part of it. I think this alone will be the key to victory over all this stuff that we're about to go through in the last days. You know, having a solid foundation prayer group is your best insurance policy. You know, forget bunkers and stored food and everything. Your best insurance policy is praying for to be led to people that can pray with you. Or pray for you. I mean, think about being broken out of prison like Peter. You know, he got a pretty supernatural break out of prison. And the reason was not because God was, you know, wanted him. Yeah, I'm sure God did. But it was because of the people that were praying for him. They had formed a prayer meeting at, who was it? For a long time they had been praying together. At a prayer meeting at the home of a widowed woman named Mary. This is Acts 12. For a long time they've been praying together, but still they continued to pray. Now the church was much distressed by the loss of James, and now when Peter was taken, they felt they could not spare him too, so they prayed daily for his release. But the days passed, and still Peter lay in the dreary prison. Finally, the last day came and went, but their prayers were yet unanswered. So the church met together in Mary's home to pray all night. And that's when, you know, an angel literally came in and supernaturally, you know, put the guards to sleep and took the chains off and led them back. And when Peter found them, they were still praying for him. I mean, that's a pretty extreme example, but it worked. And it's important that we remember that we still got all this power. And, you know, God said we could move mountains, and we're not really trying them on it, you know. Okay, guys, I'm going to play a clip from a movie called The Last Days documentary. It's got Hal Lindsey and Chuck Missler and some great Bible scholars in it, and it's good to know, especially if you haven't heard any of this stuff. They really lay out the facts really well. I take it for granted that people know about this already, and it was one of the first things that I got into when I started, you know, studying about all this stuff 13 years ago or whatever it was. But anyway, so that's it for me. Thanks, guys. Make a donation to Revere Radio at revereradio.net. You can go to the forums there. There's a lot to do there. And also, you can email me at chris@conspiracyclose.com and tell me where I was wrong and everything. Actually, I didn't do my corrections this show again this week, but I'll be sure to get them next week. And also, you can support this show by praying for me. I really do requisition prayers if you have them. And everybody stay safe out there and burn DVDs and start waking people up. And I'll see you next week.
On the morning of September 11th, 2001, Americans awoke to the worst terrorist attack ever perpetrated against innocent civilians in their country's history. The devastating attacks against the World Trade Towers in New York and the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., stunned the nation along with much of the world. President Bush immediately declared an all-out war against terrorism. Soon, highly trained pilots, special forces operatives, and ground offensives began the systematic elimination of Taliban and Al-Qaeda operations in Afghanistan. However, simultaneously, another war was quietly gathering momentum behind the scenes within America. There was a war against our own precious civil liberties, and the perpetrators were not some Islamic suicide zealots, but members of our own U.S. political system. In the wake of the September 11 attacks, a number of anti-terrorism bills were passed and signed into law. Although ostensibly designed to protect us from foreign invaders, they in fact gave the government unprecedented power over its own citizenry. For example, government officials may now authorize the use of wiretaps against anyone without having